Turn in your Bible with me quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe. Let me go there. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Chapter number 9, verse 16, 17, 19. Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." My goodness. Did you realize that when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you became obligated, debtor to a lost generation? Your generation. The generation you're growing up. You did not get saved in order to have a fire insurance policy. He saved you to bring glory unto Him. The fire insurance policy is a fringe benefit. But He saved you to be a spokesman for Him to this lost world. And notice in verse number 19, Paul says, "For though I be free from all men," I don't owe anybody anything. Personally, I'm not obligated to anybody other than the fact that I'm called to preach. "Yet have I made myself." Now get that phrase. "Yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." You know, we don't come into this world with a servant's attitude. I was born in 1938, February the 21st, 4 pounds and 4 ounces. Yes, I've gained a little since then. But I came into this world a little selfish rascal with the sin nature of my daddy. Mama put me in the bedroom, and back in those days, there was no bassinet, there was no kitty cup, there was no special container to put the baby in. They just laid you on the bed and put pillows around you, keep you from rolling off. She'd go start out the door, and I'd crack one eye. I reckon, I don't know what I did, but I know this, as soon as she's closed the door. She comes back in, ready to call 911. And goes over and picks me up. And cancels the call. What's wrong with me? I'm a selfish, stinking little sinner. She lays me back down, tiptoes back to the door, and the same thing happens again. I had it made for 9 months. I had my own little compartment, temperature control. I didn't have to wear any clothes. I could jog when I wanted to. I could sleep when I wanted to. I could eat when I want. I had the world there in that little cubicle. And then the first thing that happens to me is some fellow with a COVID mask on slaps me on my backside and makes me so mad I wouldn't talk for a whole year. What's wrong with me? I'm selfish. Me, me, me. We had an intern from this school that came down to Kinston, North Carolina, that asked the preacher, well, when do I have some me time? Well, what did you come down here for, son? You came down here to give us your time. Me time. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. There's nothing wrong with the owner of the harvest. He's still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. There's nothing wrong with the availability of workers. I look across this auditorium this morning. You're not here studying computer science, or as I talked with one brother this morning, robotics. You're here this morning to study the Word, to train for some active service in God's work. But what is your attitude about the job you may be doing? There's nothing wrong with our Christian colleges. That is, most of them, or some of them. We've gone liberal arts in almost all of them and can't get in the liberal arts what we get here. So what's wrong with the attitude of you folks? Yesterday we talked about priorities. But attitude is going to play the primary objective in your life and where you go, how you work, and what you do. I want you to look with me, if you would, over in Matthew chapter number 21. If you get there before I do, hang on. That's in the Old Testament, isn't it? All right, here we are. Matthew chapter 21. Notice in verse 23, and when he was coming to the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things, or dost thou do these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not believe then, or did not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. I love the way he handles questions. But what think you? Let me throw something on you, fellas. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. What'd you say, son? I will not. I'm your daddy. At least that's what they used to do when I was growing up. And I never hated my daddy. It didn't warp my personality. It made me what I am today. You say, but preacher, you didn't finish it. But afterward, he repented and went. I'm sorry, I should have finished that. Okay, he got up on the wrong side of the bed, didn't he? Bad attitude. Sinus headache. But later, when he began to think about what he said, he repented and went. Did I go to the mission field the first time God dealt with me? No. I broke up with a girl in college because she went forward in the mission conference. But the Lord was still dealing with me. She came back, begged me to come down with her and go to the mission field. She never went. But you know who went? The one that said he was not going. But afterward, he repented and went. Well, after you repented, Brother Heath, how many years before you got there? 10 years. Did people wonder if you were going? Oh, yeah, they asked me. I thought you were going to mission field. I said, I am. Just hang on. Stick around. Now, it was always easier to say, I am going. Easier than it was the day that I went to Raleigh-Durham Airport and hugged my mother, not knowing if I'd ever see her again. Daddy and I were not into the licking and lapping business, but I grabbed his hand, and my voice froze. I turned his hand loose and never looked back. We were close. Flew to New York to catch the ship, the Norwegian ship, that would be taking us and our cargo to Liberia, West Africa. Not realizing the first night out, we were headed to St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. January. Storms, wind, waves, not only pitching but rolling at the same time. Pitching and rolling. You fellas in the Navy remember those. I'd never been on a ship before. Had to take a lot of Dramamine. Ate it like popcorn. Got up to St. John's, snow all over the ground. We left our winter coats in New York for the lady to send them back home. Went to St. John's, also went over to another port there, Halifax, Nova Scotia. When the tide's in, you're up here next to the wharf. When the tide's out, you're looking up yonder at the wharf. Highest tide level in the world. The next day, two days later, the captain says, Mr. Heath, you're from North Carolina. I said, yes, sir. He said, it's right over there, 150 miles. If I'd have had an 18-foot rowboat, I'd have gone. Homesick, but glad I stuck it out. Homesickness will not kill you. Now, there's no medicine for it, but just to stick it out. The boy said, I will not go, but he repented and went. By the way, look at the next one. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. Boy, that's a nice fellow. Notice, I go, sir. Very respectful. He combs his hair on the right. He uses Jerry's hair tonic. Combs it over on the left. He wears patent leather shoes. Dress nice. He's the kind of boy that when he went to church, every mama in the congregation wanted their daughter to sit beside him. They wanted him for a son-in-law. But we didn't finish the verse, did we? And he went not. Did you know, years ago when I was with Baptist Mid-Missions, I was traveling north out of Indianapolis to Bible Baptist Church in Kokomo, Indiana. Was it 51 to go down? I can't remember the road number, but just north of Indianapolis was the biggest junkyard I'd ever seen in my life. It went on for at least 2 miles or 3 miles. It dawned on me that not a single vehicle in that junkyard was designed to be there. But it was there. They were there. Hundreds of them, thousands of them. Some of the biggest Christian junkyards in the world are located in Greenville, South Carolina. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I understand there's one building up here in Lattimore. Maranatha has a big Christian junkyard up there. Northland's out of existence, but it used to have one. Where young people said, I will go. And they went not. They said, Lord, if you'll give me a good job where I can work my way through college, I'll do anything you want me to do. That was 25 years ago. You're still working the job he gave you to go through college. They said, the young fellow said, I will go. And he went not. Turn over with me to back to Matthew chapter 20. Now I know that according to Adam Clark and Barnes, this chapter is about the kingdom of heaven, and here has to do with the church. Clark emphasizes the importance of the Gentile coming and the Jew becoming temporarily replaced as the meaning of the chapter. May I this morning not do an interpretation of the chapter, but may I do an application? Notice verse number one. The harvest is critical. Urgent. The night cometh when no man can work. But for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning. There are some folks never seen a sunrise. They've seen a sunset. But they've never gotten up early enough to see a sunrise. But he goes out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. By the way, he's here this week looking to hire laborers into his vineyard. These representatives are his representatives. Down here with the offers of labor in the vineyard. And he goes out early in the morning and bless his heart, he finds some folk out there. Hey, fellas, are you all looking for a job? All right, good, good. Have you ever worked in the vineyard? Wonderful, wonderful, all right. I tell you what you do. If you fellas will just take this Stockton Avenue or street, whatever it is, out here about 400 feet and take a left, go out in the country there. I've got a vineyard out there I want you to work in. All right? Head on out, fella. What's your problem? Well, sir, we were wondering how much you're going to pay. All right. What have you fellas been getting? Well, we've been getting a penny a day. All right. Let's go with a penny a day. Am I making it up? Verse number 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers. Not the laborers had agreed with him for a penny a day, but when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. By the way, these are your union workers. Your contract Christians. These are your permissive will Christians. Lord, if you will do this, this, and this, then I will work for you. Brother Clyde Ebron, who has the FBN radio network, was interviewing a young preacher to come work for him one time. And when they had finished with all of the conversation, he said, "Do you have any questions?" He said, "Sir, do I get a credit card from the church to use while I'm here?" Brother Ebron said, "No, I just told you what the benefits will be. And I don't get a credit." "No, no." "Well, I thought maybe I'd be getting a..." What kind of business is that? Are you telling God this morning what he will do if you work under him? Are you trying to get him to agree with you this morning to let you do what you want to do? He's looking for workers that will do what he wants them to do in the vineyard. And so when he had agreed with the workers for a penny a day, they go out to work. And by the way, in verse number 3, he goes back out at 9:00 in the morning, the third hour. He saw others standing in the marketplace and said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard." "And whatsoever is right, I will give you." That's a hard decision, isn't it? He said, "Whatsoever is right, I will give you." Well, why didn't he tell me how much he's going to give me? Well, my friend, he said, "Whatsoever is right, I will give you." God will never be a debtor to you. If he calls you, he will pay the freight. He will take care of you. Now, I know human nature well enough that when these fellows got out there to the vineyard, "You fellows, when did you all come out here?" 6:00. By the way, did the man say anything about how much he was going to pay you? "Oh, yeah, we got him to agree with us for a penny a day." You didn't get him to agree with you? No, all he said to us was, "Whatsoever's right, I'll do it." Well, we didn't do that. We got it in written down, word agreed, everything settled. That's not the way God does business, young folk. Notice he goes out again at noon, at 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., and every time he sends these new workers out, he says, "Whatsoever is right, I will do it. And I guarantee you, every single group that went out, anybody know how much we're getting? Yeah, those boys over there that came in early, they're getting a penny. You know, you don't have to be real good on math to start deducting your time away from that penny. And when you get down to the 11th hour, you don't have much of a penny left. If you're going to depend on what the union worker said and not on what the owner said. The owner said, whatsoever is right, I will do it. Well, 6 o'clock in the evening comes, it's time to pay off. And let's see how the payday goes. Verse number 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. Do you see what I see in the last part of that verse? They're going to start paying the ones that came last first. Where in the world is my seniority? I came out of here at 6 o'clock this morning. And now they're going to line them up. The first people get paid are going to be the ones that were hired last. Do you see my Sunday school pen? I've been in this church 33 years. And you're going to treat them better than you treat me or pay them for? What are we in the Christian life for? Why don't you just quit and go home? If that's your attitude. Paul said, I am least in my ministry. Paul never promoted himself above anybody. Now we independent Baptists have put him up next to Mary. But Paul said, I was chiefest of sinners. I'm the least in the ministry. Why do we have all of this? Well, anyway, the first fellow comes up, he's to get paid. But when the first came, or when they came and were hired about 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. You see, when that first fellow came up that was hired the 11th hour, he closed his eyes, stuck out his hand. I mean, 1/11 of one penny is not going to be very heavy. And he puts out his hand, but he's handled money before. It feels like one penny. And he opens his eyes. Excuse me, sir. I believe you made a mistake. You gave me a penny. No, I didn't make a mistake, son. That's what the owner told me to give you. Are you not satisfied? No, son, it's fine. It's fine. I just wanted to call it to your attention, though. You remember the days of the old Coke machines at the service station? You've just filled up with gas. You go over and put 50 cents in the machine. Your Coca-Cola, classic Coke, falls out in the bottom. And your 50 cent falls out in the return change. Isn't that a good feeling? It did that for me one time. Never have had the joy that I had in buying a Coke and took the Coke and my 50 cent back. But on the way to the car, my conscience got a hold of me. So I went in the service station, said to the young fellow, son, your machine gave me a Coke and my 50 cent back. It ain't my machine. Do you know whose machine it is, son? No. If you ever find out, give him the 50 cent. Don't you know that fella that only worked 1 hour was thrilled to death? He knew that the owner had kept his word. When he said whatsoever is right, he did not lie to him. And that's the way it's been in my ministry. But one of the boys that was hired the first hour, the contract Christian, the union worker, apparently had a little pair of binoculars. He just paid them a penny. We're probably going to get a bonus. Well, that's what it says. And But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. That is, to get the penny and the bonus. That they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny, and they were so happy. Just thrilled to death like the first man. No, verse 11 says, when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the... Do you do that to the Lord? Do you see a fellow Christian that apparently in your eyes is blessed a little bit more than you are and murmur about it? And when they had received it, they murmured against the governor of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. What kind of men are we working for that would treat us like this? And notice what the answer was. But he answered one of them, and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny a day or for a penny? In other words, you made the contract. Lord, if you'll give me the head cheerleader, I'll serve you, do anything you want me to do. You got her, son. But she's been cheering for somebody else for the last 10 years instead of you. Lord, if you'll give me the captain of the football team, I'll go serve you anywhere you want me to. Yeah, you got him. He's not a captain anymore. He's too lazy to work and too nervous to steal. You're the one supporting him now. Young people, please don't write out your contract. Please don't write out what you expect God to do for you. Well, preacher, what are we going to do? Get you a blank piece of paper. Sign your name on the bottom of it. And hand it to the Lord and tell him to fill it in. And I'll guarantee when payday comes, you are going to be a happy camper. Because you have done the will of God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is when David served his generation by the will of God. And then he fell on sleep and was buried with his fathers. I love that verse. I'm trying to serve my generation by the will of God. I have never set a price I graduated in the field of medical technology, hospital lab. I went to Easley, South Carolina to go back to Bob Jones University for the second time to study missionary medicine under Dr. John Dreisbach. I went over to Easley Baptist Hospital and asked them for a job. The administrator looked at me and said, "Mr. Heath, how much you expect us to pay you?" I said, "I don't know. I just need a job." "Well, that we got to have some kind of a mark or level. What did you make in Wilmington?" I said, "They started me off at $395 a month." He said, "Well, $400 a month be all right." I said, "Sold." I've never set a price on any job. And I've always come out on top. God has taken care of me. When I left that hospital to go to the mission field, the doctors had met and told the chief technologist if I would stay there, they would raise me from $400 a month to $800 a month. And my chief technologist was unsafe, Brother Ray. Clyde Huff, he was the chief technologist. He was unsaved. I had witnessed to him many times. And he got saved later. But he said to the doctor, "It's not the Lord's will for Mr. Heath to stay here." Thank you, huh? You hit it right on the nail here. Our Father, there are some wonderful young people here this morning. Young ladies, young men. With the same ambitions I had many, many years ago. Looking at the future ahead of them. Lord, I know when you call me to the mission field, I wasn't really interested because you were placing Africa on my heart. Lord, I've seen all the Tarzan movies and everything else, and that I did not want to go to Africa. But you knew how to get me there. It took 10 years. But it was no problem on your schedule. You knew how to get me there. And I want to thank you this morning for sticking with me, Lord. You knew me better than anybody else because you made me. And these young people here this morning, I know some of them are struggling with decisions and direction. And I know that there's a lot going on between you and them trying to settle this thing. But Lord, I pray you'll stay with them like you did with me until they get it settled. And Lord, I pray that they'll make the right decision. I pray they'll trust you to take care of them. I know mamas and daddies are talking their sons and daughters out of going to college, Bible college, because they can't make any money. But Lord, money is not the name of the game. You own everything. You will take care of us. You will supply our needs. You may not supply some of our wants, but you'll supply our needs, those things that we need. And Lord, I have no complaints. You've gone above and beyond my needs. And I thank you for it. Give these young ladies, young men, that kind of confirmation that whatsoever is right, you'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen.